Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 12 through 19. I want to speak to you on the subject of world at war. Before God made the heavens and the earth, before he created man, he made the angels. You say, Brother Allen, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says when God created the heavens and the earth, the angels watched and rejoiced. So the angels were here way back. I don't know how far back, but they were here. And in the heart of Lucifer, one of the strongest, most beautiful angel, there was sin. And he rebelled against God. The Bible says you were perfect in all your ways until iniquity was found in you. And God, when he created the world, he set up a battlefield between him and the devil. The devil is recruiting all the help he can get in this world to try to stand against Almighty God. Now, we know the outcome. So it's not a matter of who will win and who will lose. We know that the Lord will ultimately triumph. The question is, which side are we going to be on? You say, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I can't be on the devil's side. Remember John the Apostle when he was put out with some of the people who were not following the Lord and wouldn't accept them? He said to the Lord, you want me to just call down fire from heaven and destroy them? Jesus said, you know not what spirit you're of. You see, the Christian spirit is that of the Holy Spirit. But the devil can also lead us astray and get us to follow him. This morning I want us to ask the question, who's on the Lord's side? We ask that not for others, but for ourselves. Is the life that I'm living a part of the solution or part of the problem? Stand with me, if you will, as we read Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 through 19. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Let's pray. Fathers, we realize the war that's going on amongst the principalities and powers of the air. Lord, we were made to realize that we have a part in this battle. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us by your grace. Lord, this morning, remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit and preach through me your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the book of Acts, Luke writes a little phrase about the people that are following the Lord several times throughout the book of Luke. And that little phrase is one accord. One accord is real important when we are working as a church. Unity is real important. Now, we do not sacrifice doctrine for unity. We have to be unified in doctrine. But you know the only way that there is unity is if we're all filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, there is no unity. There can be no unity. And the devil hates the unity of the Lord's church, because in the Lord's church, if it is unified, there is tremendous power. And so the devil will try to recruit somebody to stir something up, because he doesn't want unity in the church. Now, the first thing I want you to see here is the right spirit is the key to unity. Look at verses 12 and 14. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now notice what he's saying here. Jesus says that the rule for life is that we are to do to others what we want others to do to us. It's pretty easy to figure out the right way if we live by that principle. We all know how we want to be treated. We should treat others that way. And if we fail to do that, then we open the door for the devil to come in. It is a very narrow road that we walk as Christians, folks. And that road is a road surrendered to the will of God in our lives. Without that surrender, there's all kinds of ways that the devil can lead us astray. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "Know ye not that to whomsoever you yield yourself service to obey, his servant you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" If we yield to the devil, he can use us. He can use us to stir up all kinds of problems. He can just destroy the unity of a church by one person being used of the devil. Our example in the book of Acts of the church and how it functioned is that it was in one accord in prayer to start with. Look at Acts 1:14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." In one accord in prayer and supplication. When we all agree and we all pray together to God, there is tremendous power in that. And this church there in the book of Acts was praying, and they were lifting up their cause before God in one accord. Now, that one accord is not something they mustered up. The reason they were in one accord is because they were all filled with God's Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can have one accord, and that is the only way we have unity. Each member has to be filled with the Spirit of God. And you say, well, how do we get there? We're going to talk about that next week. But for right now, understand that the filling of the Holy Spirit is absolutely required if there's going to be unity. They also, in Acts 4:24, were in one accord in prayer. "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." You see, in prayer, when it comes to prayer, this church was in one accord. They knew where their blessings came from. They worshiped God in one accord. They were in one accord in purpose. Acts 2 and verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." They were there together in one purpose, and that was to glorify the Lord God. And they did that. Then look at Acts 5, verse 12. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." They were there with one purpose, and that was to worship the Lord God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's the way God intends for his church to be. And then I want you to see in Acts 2, 46 and 47, they were in one accord in practice. "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Isn't that good? But I want you to see that not only is there the right spirit, there's a resistant spirit. Anywhere there is something going on with the Lord, the devil's going to try to get his foot in the door. And that's what we have to be aware of. Listen to what he says here in verse 15 through 18 of our text. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather thorns of figs or grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now you see, the devil will find people to represent him and try to sway as many as they can to following the devil. You say, why would any Christian do that? It's because the devil is very sly. And I want you to know, we're not talking about other people, we're talking about us. The devil can get a hold of us and use us. We have to be very, very careful of that. You see, whenever this happens, God says, love your enemies. Be good to them that despitefully use you and abuse you. We're not enemies of each other. We are to help one another stay away from the devil. But understand, the whole time, we have the same opportunity to serve the devil as they do. And so he says, beware of anything that is not in that straight and narrow path, because it is something the devil will use to pull you astray. The devil uses persecution sometimes. Listen to Acts 7, 54 through 60. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now this is Stephen, who is preaching to them. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him. Now listen, here's the same phrase, with one accord. Now, where did they get that one accord? Where did they get that unity? It was not of the Holy Spirit. It was of the unholy spirit. God would have freed them from that if they had turned to him, but the devil got into them, and because of that, they stoned Stephen. They became a mob by design from the devil. It's a dangerous thing, folks. Popularity and having the majority on your side does not make you right. The Bible says, though hand join in hand, the sinner shall not go unpunished. God is always right, no matter what we say. We cannot outvote God. We cannot overthrow God. It's just a matter of which side we're going to be on. Look at verse 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now I want you to know that because Stephen was filled with the Spirit, and because of his reaction, the Apostle Paul witnessed that and later on became convicted when the Lord came to him. And it paved the way for the Apostle Paul to receive Christ as his Savior. You see, we don't have to be overthrown by the devil. Now, they killed Stephen. But Stephen realized he was going to heaven. It's not a time of sadness. It's a time of rejoicing for Stephen. And the last thing he wanted to make sure of was that people are not going to go to hell because of what they did to him. You see, that's attributed to the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. That's what every one of us needs. Sometimes politics are used by the devil to try to lead us astray. Listen to Acts 18, 12 through 17. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." Now notice, they were of one accord in their insurrection because the devil stirred them up. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look you to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. Now you see here, God intervened, but notice that the devil had collected all these people, and all of these people were standing against what Paul was trying to do, trying to resist him. Now, what was their purpose? It was the devil's purpose, and they were just simply fulfilling it. Now, they thought it was their idea. That's the way the devil works. You see, he'll give you these good ideas, and if you'll just follow him, you can make a big mess of a lot of stuff. He also uses power that men think they have. Listen to Acts 19, 22 through 29. "So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose a small stir about that city. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, 'Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth.' When they heard these things," listen to this, "they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians.' And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater." Now you see, they got together a group because they wanted to rescue this false idea that they had. They got together all the people that were of the same opinion, and the ones that were not of the same opinion, they convinced them to be of the same opinion, and then here they go trying to wield their power and destroy the work of God. But I want you to see the resulting situation. Now notice what he says here. Verse 19. "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." There will come a time, no matter what the devil does or how successful he may be, there will come a time when everybody who falls for his lies as lost people will be burned up. And all those who are Christians who fall for his lies will lose all of their reward, and their reward will be burned up. All of their works will be cast into the fire, and they will be burned like wood, hay, and stubble. You see, God is going to win this battle. It's all going to come out in his favor. Listen to Acts 18, 1 through 8. Here, God uses the logical truth that Paul presents in the gospel to lead this man to the Lord. You see, there was a temple there. Well, let's just read it. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for they were, by their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord, and with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now, look at what Paul does here. He's preaching in the synagogue, and they run him out of the synagogue. Crispus was the ruler of the synagogue. He was appointed there. And so he was resisting Paul. And so Paul leaves the synagogue, but he moves in next door to him. And he begins to teach right there. And so Crispus keeps hearing all this doctrine. And all of a sudden, he believes. So they had to send a new man. And the new man's name was Sosthenes. Now, we read about Sosthenes. He resisted, and he took Paul in, was going to beat him up, and all of a sudden he got beat up. And he was all embarrassed, and because he was the chief ruler of the synagogue, and here he is getting whooped right there in front of all the people. Now, God says, we don't root when our enemies fall, do we? What do? We love our enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. As a matter of fact, he says, if your enemy is hungry, what do? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. And by doing this, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. The coals of fire that are upon his head is convicting power of the Holy Spirit, because he sees something different in you. And so here Paul, in his love and in his loving treatment of this man Sosthenes, wins him to the Lord. Listen to what it says. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. Then if we flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the first verse has something very interesting. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. See, he led him to the Lord. And now they have to send a third man over there. So Paul is just getting all their chief rulers as they send them in. God is able to overcome. We are not here to fear. We're not here to fear the devil. We're here to serve the Lord. And whenever the Lord is in something, it will prosper. It's the bottom line. Now, let's look at the last times. I don't know how far into the future we're talking about here, but there's coming a time when the Lord will return. It may be tomorrow, it may be today, it may be 100 years, I don't know. But I do know this, when he comes, he will come quickly. Let me ask you something. If the Lord came today, how would it change your plans? You say, well, I'd have no plans. Well, the Lord says we're to live as though he were coming back today. Our plans get in the way. And one of the chief things that the devil uses to draw us away and get us to serve him is our plans. Because God interferes with our plans. And so the devil wants us to get away from God. And he promises the fulfillment of our plans. But I want you to know there's coming a time when all that God has said will come to pass. And it doesn't matter how far off in the future it seems to be. God's still God. Listen to Revelation 19, 11 through 21. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Folks, that's the way it ends. Now, which side do we want to be on? Now, if we knew that it was going to happen today, we'd all want to get on God's side. Amen? But what about if it doesn't happen for a while? You can't play both sides. You say, well, how would I know being used of the devil? Well, let me just make it real simple. If you are at odds with somebody, the Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly. What does that mean? It doesn't mean wrestle them down until you get your way. It means you agree with them. You go along with them. Now, if it's a doctrinal thing, you got to deal with that. But if it's just a matter of preference, you have got to learn how to follow the Lord and let the Lord deal with things. God is the one who deals with problems and disagreements. But our job is to love our enemies. If you're angry with somebody, you're out of the will of God. There is no place for anger. You say, well, what about righteous indignation against doctrine? Yes. But just to be angry with somebody because you disagree with them is wrong. And it's not acceptable with God. Whenever we do that, we step out of the will of God, and the devil can use us. You say, well, how do we settle these things? The Bible says, let everybody esteem the other person better than themselves. If I fight to get my way, I'm going to always be out of the will of God. But if I just say, Lord, your will be done, whatever it is, God's will be done. And I won't be in the way of it. I have to always give myself over to what I know the Lord would have me do. You remember how we started here? He says, whatever you would that men should do to you, you do that to them. If you have offended somebody, what should you do? Make it right. If you disagree with somebody, what would you want them to do? Agree with you. Somebody says, I want blue songbooks. Somebody else says, I want green songbooks. How do you settle something like that? Both parties ought to say, hey, whatever you want, if you feel strongly about that, let's do that. Why? Because God says he will work all that out if we don't get in the way. You see, we often major on the minors. We make a big deal out of little things. God wants us to be in unity. And the only way to do that is to be filled with the Spirit. And the only way to be filled with the Spirit is to trust God with all of our heart. When we stop trusting God, we start trusting the devil. It's as simple as that. So I don't trust the devil, but do you serve him? You see, we have to be very careful. The devil is going about seeking whom he may devour. He is very smart. He is very deceptive. And what we have to do is look at our lives and say, who am I trusting? Who am I serving? And then serve the Lord with all of our heart. And when we do that, we will be in one accord, in unity. We will not hold grudges. We will not have fights. We will serve the Lord. Let's stand. Go to the Lord in prayer. If you're here this morning and you know that you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you. Make it right with God this morning. Or if you've strayed from Him, it's time for you to come back to Him. Give Him free reign in your life. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne, and I pray that you would set us all in unity. Guide us, Lord, in the way that we ought to go. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Lord, I pray that you would revive us again. In Jesus' name we pray.